All right, welcome back, Kingdom Queens. Thank you so much for dialing in. We are in lesson number four on the strange woman. Lesson number four on the strange woman. And you haven't seen a blog entry about this lesson because I was torn on how to title it. But I think I've settled on watch out for intimate soul ties. Watch out for intimate soul ties. For this session, we are in Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. And the reading this time will come from the New King James Version. Reading from the New King James Version. I will do my best to read clearly and slowly for those of you who might be en route to other places. But if you have your Bibles, get those and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 5. Father, we thank you that the entrance of your word gives light and it does bring understanding to the simple. We thank you for adding to us wisdom and knowledge and understanding, causing us to grow in grace and in our knowledge of you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now the chapter heading for Proverbs chapter 5 may limit us when we look at the spirit of the strange woman, because this chapter talks about, in the New King James Version, the peril of adultery. In the King James, it says warning against sexual sin. And it could say similar things in other versions, but some of us are married, some of us are not, and we're really looking at the queen life as a metaphor for a woman's walk with God and the call to higher order living. And so we want to expand the context here. And I think we can do that safely by, instead of just looking at the marriage bond, we're going to expand that for intimate soul ties. All right, so that will cross a lot of lines with all of us. And so while the references to the strange woman in verse 3 and verse 20 of chapter 5 are correctly rendered as a harlot or an immoral woman, I think we're safe at this point to continue building on our character profile of the strange woman, because we've built enough of a base to understand that strange, the very first mention of strange in Scripture, means foreign, it means alien, it means belonging to another. So then it follows that if in this context she is a harlot, that her heart belongs to another. That follows, okay? It also follows that her way began in the heart. And so we stick to our foundation of this set of lessons that the strange woman, for us, begins in the heart. It's a heart issue. And so this is the woman who is, and I say woman because this spirit is gendered female, but this spirit, of course, like Jezebel, can operate in male or female. But the strange woman belongs to another. She's the one who has left her teacher. She is the one who has ignored the covenant of her God. So when we broaden this connotation, we are considering the intimate soul tie. And this is why, because some of us are firm and we're resolute, and sex isn't our thing. We won't fall into sexual sin, but we will yield to deep emotional bonds and tie our hearts up. We'll tie our emotions up. We'll tie our mind up. We'll get caught up in fantasy and daydreaming with an intimate soul tie. So these fantasies that we can indulge in, these are things that we might actually do if we knew there was no penalty for it. If we knew we wouldn't get caught, if we knew we could get away with it, we just might do it. You know, so this is our approach to Proverbs chapter 5 and the warning it has for us. And the bottom line is that it's a condition of the heart. So we're going to look at verses 1 through 14, going to work expository because the scripture is clear, but there are several things that are inferred or suggested that are not clearly stated in the scripture. So let's start in verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2, Proverbs 5, New King James Version. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion, and your lips may keep knowledge. All right, pay attention to my wisdom, first thing. Second thing, lend your ear to my understanding. Third, you'll gain the ability to protect yourself. Your lips, you will preserve discretion, it says. And then you'll demonstrate control of your lips. So let's look at the symbols here. If I am paying attention, if someone has to tell me to pay attention, that means they have something to say or something to show me. And so when the command is pay attention to my wisdom, the suggestion is that wisdom has something to say or wisdom has something to show. And then lend your ear to my understanding. Get conditioned to wisdom's voice. New Testament witness says, my sheep know my voice, and the stranger they will not follow. Then if you do this, if you pay attention to what wisdom has to say, what wisdom has to show you, and you lend your ear to the teaching voice, to the voice of instruction, first you will gain the ability to protect yourself. Impartation happens and ability increases. In other words, you grow up. You're going to mature when you hearken to the voice of wisdom. And then you'll demonstrate control of your lips. Lips there means speech or language. The psalmist said, set a watch over the door of my lips, O God. You know, that we would exercise wisdom through our speech or our lack of speech in some situations. So being cautious and holding on to what we know, being cautious about what we reveal, all of that comes through paying attention to wisdom and lending our ear to understanding. Verses 3 and 4, why do we need to pay attention to wisdom? Why do we need to hear the voice of instruction? Verses 3 and 4, the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. We need to hold ourselves in wisdom because the strange woman's lips drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. You remember in grade school, it taught us the forms of comparison. There's a similes using like or as, and then there is the direct comparison, which is the metaphor. That is what we see here. The strange woman, she is a professional in flattering words. And her, think of honey dripping, making tea or something. And her words are like that, just sugary sweet, constantly flowing. And we learned in a previous lesson that the strange woman caters to ego. Caters to ego, which suggests that there's a deficiency in us if that strange woman spirit can get to us by flattering the ego. And then her mouth is compared to oil, smoother than oil. Basically, she's slick. She's slick. This is why we pay attention. This is why we have to pay attention to what God shows us and grow in wisdom. It says, but in the end, bitterness is her portion. Bitterness is her portion. Let's go further, verses 5 and 6. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of life. Her ways are unstable. You do not know them. Our very first lesson in this series on the strange woman was that there is a difference. There is a difference between what is of God and what belongs to another. There is a difference, and that difference is continually made in the references in Scripture to the strange woman. Verse 5 says, her feet go down to death, and her steps lay hold of hell. We saw in a previous lesson when we looked at Proverbs chapter 2 how her ways end up in death or to the dead. And so there is the strange woman represents separation. A separation from God. Death is not just a finality or a closing of the eyes and sleep, but death is also a separation. And that's what that means. In this Proverbs 2, we saw that those who go to her, those who turn toward the way of the strange woman, they have no recourse. They don't come back again. And this is a reminder in chapter 5 that her feet go down to death and her steps lay hold of hell. And in verse 6, just in case you're thinking about leaving your path for her path, just in case you're so agitated and you're so frustrated or you're so antsy and restless that you just have to make a move right now, on the border of impulsive action, consider that the ways of the strange woman are unstable. Are unstable. And you do not know her ways. There is a difference. There is a definite line of demarcation between the kingdom queen and the strange woman. And what we have to do in paying attention to wisdom is to disarm her at her points of advantage. We disarm the strange woman at her points of advantage. And the way that we disarm her is not by deep and wonderful warfare. I'm an intercessor, and yes, I said it. It's not by deep and wonderful warfare. It's not even by binding and loosing. It's not by that wonderful apostolic decree, but it's by paying attention to wisdom and listening to your teachers. Oh, my. That was good right there. If we were live and in person, I'd have you say something, but we're on the line, so we're going to keep tracking. Disarm her at her points of advantage. So here is what wisdom says to do. Verse 7, therefore hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, her being the strange woman, and do not go near the door of her house. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house. Don't depart from words of wisdom. Separate from the strange woman. Separate from what will separate you from God. Remove your way from the strange woman. Don't go near the door of her house. I want to put a peg right there. There is a sister that I know who has a bleeding heart. She has a mercy gift. And many of us, if this is not you, maybe you know someone like this, they just bleed for everyone. And if they could, they'd help everyone. And they're constant. That gift out of balance always keeps a person in lack. It keeps a person at a disadvantage because they give their all and their house suffers. They give their all and, you know, personally they suffer. They restrict themselves to a fault, if you will. And I know a sister with this gift, and she just feels it's her mission, you know, to love on people in the local church who we are aware are in known sin. Might get in trouble here. But the scripture is clear. Remove your way from the strange woman. Do not go near to her door. Don't hold a prayer meeting. Don't invite her over. Don't try to mentor her. Don't try to make that close connection. Don't try and be a godly example in front of her. Her ways go down to death. Her feet lay hold of hell. Separate yourself. Separate yourself. or else, here are the consequences. Let's start in verse 9. Lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one. Verse 10, lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. And you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed. And you say, how I have hated instruction, and my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of who? The assembly and the congregation. Verse 9, you give your honor to others. Following the strange woman, you give your own reward away. You give your own reward away. And you give your years of service, your years of sowing. You just discard those. Verse 10, you forfeit your harvest because a stranger, a foreigner, will be filled with your wealth and reap from your efforts. And that promise is for the believer. We live in houses we didn't build. We eat from vineyards we didn't plant. Not the foreigner. Not the strange one. And we point this out with an emphasis because this is subtle. This is subtle. This false gospel of tolerance will lead us following a strange woman. You can't love everybody out of everything. But it doesn't mean we don't walk in love. Another talk show, another day. Verse 11, the final condition when you follow the stranger, when you finally come to yourself, your final condition is grief and mourning at the destruction of what? Your flesh and your body. And your confession will be, beginning at verse 12, this is all you'll be able to say. My goodness, I hated instruction. My heart despised correction. I disobeyed my teachers. I ignored those who taught me. And I was on the verge of total ruin. Let's look at that. Verses 12 and 13. Let's look a little closer. I've hated instruction. The suggestion here is that instruction can save us from sitting down in the seat of the strange woman. But it's not just any instruction. It's the instruction that does not cater to the itching ear. It's the instruction that does not cater to the itching ear. Next, you'll say, the confession in my grief and my mourning, because I look at all that I lost because I was seduced away. My heart despised correction. The suggestion here is that correction can help us avoid the seat of the strange woman. This is why, since the beginning, since Esther's call, we have continually emphasized that the kingdom queen is teachable, teachable. Godly wisdom in James 3 says, easy to be entreated. People can approach you about a fault. Then I have disobeyed my teachers. To disobey, you had to hear. So the suggestion here is that at one point, there was teaching. You had an ear turned toward the word of wisdom. But when you heard the teaching, you either did the opposite of the teaching or you did nothing. I disobeyed my teachers. Then I ignored those who taught. Powerful principle here that whether, and this was the word in the call God gave to Ezekiel, and you'll find it in chapters 2 and 3. In the King James, it says, whether they hear or whether they forbear. Plain English, whether they hear you or whether they ignore you. The teaching continues. And that's the point here, that the confession will be sitting there like David and Ziklag and ashes all around you, looking at all the things you lost and saying, I ignored those who taught me. The Father in his mercy retains the voice of wisdom in the earth. He retains that voice to teach his way. And so whether we hear or whether we ignore, the teaching will continue. And the exhortation of this chapter is that we hearken to the voice of wisdom. Next, I was on the verge of total ruin. Total ruin. And I want to focus our attention not on the verge and not on total ruin, but where it happened. I was on the verge of total ruin publicly. In the midst of the assembly and the congregation. Who make up the assembly? Who make up the congregation? The fear of the Lord should be coming upon us right about now. Because the strange woman, remember we know from a previous lesson, she is aware of her covenant, of the covenant of God. She's aware of it because she ignores it. And so she's not a stranger to the assembly. This spirit is not a stranger to the congregation. And following this spirit, it is possible to do it in the congregation. This is why we pay attention to what wisdom has to say and what wisdom has to show. This is why we hearken to the voice of godly instruction. This is why we maintain a solid diet of the Word of God, because it feeds us. Scripture calls the Bible bread, calls the Bible water, says that this water in you becomes a well as you take it in. And so wisdom has its benefits for us. Let's work wisdom. Let's work wisdom. Let's skip down to verse 23. Verse 23. He shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. Simply stated, without teaching, we can die. We can be cut off. We can be separated. And so my exhortation to us, let's let our pastors preach to us. Let's be a part of the Christian education programs at our church. Let's take advantage of the parachurch ministries that the Lord has set in our path to equip us. Let's let our rabbis, our local pastors, unpack revelation for us. Let's sit there and be taught. Let's let our guides and our mentors and our trusted counselors, let's let them open up the truth to us. And when they give assignments, let's do them. Kingdom queens are not a part of the trend. We're not tossed about with every wind and wave of doctrine. We aspire to be steadfast, to be immovable, to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. We aspire to be fruit-bearing trees. So let's not be double-tongued, crying out to God for wisdom and for stability, and then acting unstable like the strange woman. There are real seductions on the path to reigning, and they are seductions because there's a possibility they could work on us. They're seducing. They're seductions, and they're real because they are what we like. It's not a seduction unless there's the potential of drawing me away. And my pastor says that you don't know where your commitment lies until you have a choice. You don't know where your commitment lies until you have a choice. This, then, is why God warns us against the intimate soul tie. Not to give our mind, our spirit, to this spirit rather, not to give our free will, our gift of free will, not to give our emotions away, our imagination, our intellect to the spirit of the strange woman. We have to recognize the hats that the devil wears. And one of the ways we do that is we get healed where there are chinks in our armor. We get to the root of it. We stop rebuking all this fruit, and we start researching the cycles. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says to examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith. We need to take a good look at our own soul. Look at what are the cycles that trap me. And when I identify those cycles, how is it that the devil draws me in? Is it a certain time of year? Is it near the anniversary of mother's death? Is it near the anniversary of when this person went away? How is it that I'm so taken in, and then a year later, 2 years later, when I've given over my treasure, when my labors have gone to the house of a foreigner, do my eyes suddenly pop open and I say, how in the world did I get here? No, when is it that I finally realize what happened? Lord, I need you to shorten my learning curve. Because I need to figure this thing out. That's the weakness in the armor. And when we locate the weakness in the armor, that's where we focus our efforts. That's where we focus it. If your thing, if that cycle for you is loneliness, and loneliness leads you to compromise, then I'm sorry, dear heart. This is not the time for you to pray and fast for the favor of God. It's time for you to get that chink healed. That's what we do. You know, when I was preparing for this lesson, I remembered when I was a little girl, the deacons would be sitting in those two chairs at the front, leading devotion, and deacons would pray, and they'd say, Lord, strengthen us where we're weak, and build us up where we've been torn down. When I tell you I get it now, I get it now. Today, it's trendy, it's popular to specialize in deliverance, to specialize in angels, or specialize in demons and devils, or specialize in decrees and atmospheres. Don't be tricked. When we are confronting the temptation of a professional, remember we already have established that the strange woman is a professional at flattery. And getting to our ego, when we are confronting that spirit, we have to cry out, Lord, be strong in me. Give me wisdom. And so we got to beware not to tie our soul up with strange spirits. Remember, how do we do it? The girl told Peter during the trial, when Jesus was taking him for the trial, Peter stayed outside at a distance, and the Bible says he warmed himself. And he sat over there with that little group, and the girl identified him as one of the disciples. She kept saying, no, 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 not me, not me. You got me mixed up. No, 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 no. But then they told him his speech betrayed him. So how can we identify the spirit of the strange woman in the assembly, in the congregation? It's not with suspicion. It's not with judgment. It's not with judging unrighteous judgment and really looking at the surface things. No, speech will betray. How do we know? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So we have to move in wisdom. That's what we have to do. We will not unseat ourselves from our place of delegated authority, but we will remain seated. That's what this year is all about, avoiding the seat of the scorner and now avoiding the seat of the strange woman. This is not who we are. We know to whom we belong. And wisdom protects us as we walk it out. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, oh God, for the light that your word brings to us. Thank you for the challenge. Thank you for strengthening us. And we pray, oh God, we call forth the prayers of the ages. We call forth, oh God, the prayers of generations, the prayers of great men and women of faith, the perfect men and women, the complete, the holy men and women, God, whose paths, whose trails we follow today. We pray their prayer, oh God, that you would build us up where we are torn down, that you would strengthen us where we are weak. God, that you would begin to show us who we are, that you would unfold for us the chinks in our armor, God, that you would show us our areas of weakness, and that you would walk us through paths of wisdom, God, that you would show us what we need to do to gain strength in that area. Hallelujah. 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 God, we thank you for opening the eyes of our understanding in this lesson. Thank you, oh God, for loving us enough, God, that you never leave your people without a witness. You never leave us without a warning. We're so grateful for your word, so grateful for the power that's in your word, this living word, God, that's going now into areas of our soul. Have your will and work your word in us, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah.